heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Hollywood is known for embracing politics, for sure. But it's surprising how little its leaders anticipate the emotional, visceral reaction that comes with venturing into that minefield. Even now, when politics seem to dominate every aspect of American life, executives still frequently dip into the territory without any sense of the reaction they might get. And isn't that the case, really? You know, when it comes to Hollywood and sports and entertainment of that sort, many patriots, majority of conservatives, many Americans, millions, have turned it off, not paying attention at all. And a lot of them get really offended when it comes up and they don't want to talk about it. Yeah, they're not important. But I would beg to differ, and I would dispute and argue back, it is important. And it may very well be important because of how much of the populace are they influencing, I wonder. Do you wonder that as well? And then when an election might get taken by, you know, some extremists or socialist tendencies, you might say, well, how did they win that race? I wonder how. I wonder why. Right. When we've turned it off and we've said, well, it doesn't matter. I don't watch their movies anymore. I don't go to their sports games. I don't partake in their parties. It doesn't impact my life. It doesn't matter. Well, the argument I would suggest to you that it does matter. And you need to pay attention. I'm going to give you another warning right up front here. This is part and parcel why the conservative movement and patriots at large are playing from behind. Because the far left have the megaphone to our entire society. Now, you can say it doesn't matter to you and you go about your day, but by golly, you and your friends have been doing that for decades. And look at the price we're paying right now. That should give you some food for thought. So let me reset the table for you. It matters. It mattered then. It matters today. And it's damn well going to matter tomorrow. Let me bring on now Stephanie Zimbalist. Stephanie is, well, you might recognize the name. She's an American actress. She was best known for her role as Laura Holt. And that was in that famous detective series, Remington Steele, which we will talk about today, and Pierce Brosnan. And that was quite the program, Stephanie. They don't make them like that anymore, do they?
No, they don't.
Yeah, that was quite the program. And I remember that as a young boy growing up. That was really a great program. But anyways, we'll come back more to that. I want to stay right where we're at right now. Welcome to the Voice of a Nation here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. It's wonderful to have you. And I want to start with this big conversation. I start with the culture of Hollywood. And, you know, Stephanie, all too often, I find a lot of our circles, first of all, we sit in echo chambers. That's one of the biggest problems we have in our country right now. The left only want to listen to the left. The right only want to listen to the right. And if you dip into their territory, they'll step on your foot or slap you in the head and tell you to get the hell out of there. You see, we're in these little echo chambers now is what's happening. And that's where our country is. And we're not really talking to each other. We're screaming at each other all over social media, all over the media and everywhere else. But yet, all too often, Stephanie, in my career here already, I've seen so many people say, well, they don't matter. But I would argue back, they do matter.
Well, I believe for a long time now that the news of the day has absconded entertainment. People just literally, if they have any brain at all, if they're not completely somnambulant, what they're watching, their movies, their television, their entertainment, and indeed, their sports are what's going on in the national political panorama. So people are listening. They're listening to podcasts. They're watching, you know, they're going to their favorite apps. They're going to articles. They're going to whatever news, you know, relays. But people are addicted. People are not sleeping anymore. And it has nothing to do with entertainment or television or what movie is coming on those those ratings are, you know, they hit the skids so long ago. It's goodbye. It's finished. It's a done deal.
How do you see right now the division in America? You know, I always put the point out there, Stephanie, that really the division in America is by design. I mean, when the framers, you know, when our Constitution became a thing and our country had its founding, we were supposed to be. This was the intention is the diversity of thought and the diversity of opinion. And we weren't all supposed to ever agree. But yet, some people see it as a bad thing versus a good thing. Is the division in our country right now, do you see it as good or bad?
I think it started with the internet. I think our little phones in which we have to make snap decisions right away, whether we believe, whether we like, whether we dislike. We're on the fence on this and that. We're shooting across the bow constantly. Nothing that you say is apolitical. It isn't. Everything that you say, every single thing you do reads what side you're on politically and how you feel our country should go. And it's a vicious, vicious, divisive world. For a long time, I thought I could keep my friends on the left. I tried and tried, and it just has blown up for everyone.
So everyone. You've been impacted then by this divide, you're saying, with your circle, right? Your circle
totally,
of friends.
Totally. Oh, totally. Really? None of my patriotic friends have any more friends that are on the left. They don't have them anymore.
Well, why is the left not patriotic? Can you tell me?
Because they want to change. Just as I mentioned to you before, the other night, I shall say, I saw the great one, Mark Levin, and he said, look, don't touch my Senate. Do not touch my judicial. Don't touch anything. Leave it alone. Read it. If you don't understand it, read it. Don't change it. Don't change the Supreme Court. Don't change, you know, everybody wants to change. And he's saying, stand up, defend our country, go out and be there. You know, for our country, but don't feel you have to change it and bring it down. And that's what the left wants to do. They want to bring it all down.
You know, it's we on the right or, you know, conservatives, patriots, as you say there, Stephanie, we proudly stand for the flag. We get goosebumps. In fact, we put our hand on our heart. We love our country. We celebrate all the beautiful gifts that we have from God Almighty and this amazing country that we live in. Yet there is a push and strife that is trying to tear that apart. And it always I just can't figure it out. It behooves me to really see how they are not patriotic for their country. And you seem to think that really the goal is, which I think has become very apparent to many, their goal is to change America now. And so because of that reason, you think they've become less patriotic then for what we see as our America? They don't see the same America, do they?
No, they don't.
Why?
You know, I was given so much when I was young. I was blessed. I was very blessed, as my father was, as his father was. I had so many, I don't want to say advantages that other people didn't have, because I was given certain things that I was allowed to open up and run with, because I had the freedom. I had the freedom to do it. And, you know, a lot of people in this country want the chance to build their own dream. It's like, you know, what Jack Nicklaus said recently. He said, I had my grandparents had a dream. My parents had a dream, and I was allowed to have my own dream and I could pursue that. And basically he said, if you vote for Biden, you're not going to have that dream to pursue.
So Jack Nicklaus came out and said that, interesting, and he was probably onto it now. So when we talk about the influence of Hollywood, I want to stay there just a moment here. What is your opinion, your honest opinion about, are they successful in swaying voters? Because you see they get out there in the entertainment industry and they are always to the left, just about exclusively, which is what you're saying. You haven't been able to keep those connections and those friendships within the industry. Because
I'm not even saying that they're in the industry. I'm just talking about deep, close, personal friendships. I'm not even talking about friendships in the industry. But I will say that it's totally backfired, Malcolm. It's totally backfired whenever somebody in entertainment goes out and slams whomever, whatever side, they lose half their audience.
See, right now, there. I don't get that. Let me stop you right there. Now, you just hit the nail right on the head for Malcolm. And here's the thing. I've never been able to understand that, Stephanie. How is that a good business move for an actor, an actress, a singer, or any musician or anybody? How is that a good move that you alienate half your audience?
Because they're D-U-M-B. They are not thinking.
I like it. You know, I have to tell you, Stephanie, a little side story here, please. Back in 2000, you remember Y2K? We were all going to blow up with the computers. Remember that, 2000?
Yeah.
So remember the world was going to end? We didn't know what was going to happen. Everybody was pretty neurotic. Remember they said, don't travel, any of that, you know? Well, I ended up making my way. I said, well, and you know, this is me, Stephanie. I said, well, you know what? If the world is going down, I might as well go out in style. So I flew out in a beautiful place to Las Vegas, and I went to the MGM Grand Arena, and I went like first class back then in 2000. And we seen a Barbara Streisand concert that evening, New Year's Eve. You know, it was a big how to do black tie event, you know, the whole deal, right? And and this is before it really got so polarizing as it is today so much. I didn't even know what her political beliefs were really back then. I never paid attention. But now, you know, and I went there and it was interesting. And then over the years, I've seen the evolution of a Barbara Streisand, for instance, and I wouldn't buy her CD. I wouldn't take her CD if it was free or if they paid me and said, here's $100 attached to the CD. Would you like to have it? I would say, no, thank you. I really don't want to have it. So she is totally that whole group. I wouldn't see her. I wouldn't see Bette Midler. I wouldn't see any of them. That's a classic case of what we're talking about, isn't it?
That's right. That's exactly so. I mean, absolutely so. And there are very, very few entertainers and actors really that come out for Trump because, you know, we're all going to be, you know, just pilloried, just terrible. It's I guess we can say it now. Why not? But we had an amazing group in Hollywood. It was an under the radar political group. Mm-hmm. It was just great. I think it's been out there so many times, so it's so easy to say it now, but it was called Friends of Abe. And when Friends of Abe went down, there were 1,800 members of this group. Mm-hmm. And we were, you know, hair on fire for this country, for its tenants, for, you know, the freedoms that it gave us, all that good stuff, and just got squashed. It just got totally squashed. So that we're all sort of lost right now and doing the best we can do on our own. But for example, my friend, Dan Roebuck, who's a sensational actor. I don't know if you know Dan, but Dan is, he was on, of all things, he was on Matlock for a long time, but he's done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of television pieces and movies. And he has a new group called A Channel of Peace, and he's making his own films. He will find the avenue for them. He'll find the proper outlet for them. He's raising money right now for A Channel of Peace, but he's just taking it on his own. He's writing them. He's casting them. He's getting them made. I just finished one in Pennsylvania called Lucky Louie. I don't know when it'll be on, but it'll be out there. I have a small part in it, but he gave me the opportunity because we've worked together in the past, and that's what people are doing. They're saying, well, if Hollywood isn't going to take care of us anymore, we'll have to reinvent ourselves.
Within the context of what we're talking about, how in your own, talking about Hollywood now, and you as an actress and someone who's had a lot of roles and a lot of movies and very successful series, how has this current day impacted you? Has it impacted you? Yeah, exactly.
I just laugh. I mean, oh my goodness, how has it never impacted me? It's, by the way, I just a personal note. Impact is not a verb. It's not a verb, it's a noun. So I'm just putting it out there. How has it had an impact on my life? And it has, let me tell you. I remember I had a very powerful, powerful PR firm working for me in the beginning days of Remington. And suddenly she told me that I was going to go to an anti-nuclear rally. And I said, no, I don't think so. She dropped me like a hot potato. She absolutely dropped me right at that moment, like a hot potato. I saw it happen as, you know, I got full and flush in the face, bam, right in the face. Mm. So yes, it's been happening to me for years. I'd say to my agent, you know, I think that I'm very quiet about how I feel politically, but I think it's had an effect. Oh, no, that's not the way Hollywood works. They would never. And I'm thinking, what the hell are you talking about? What planet are you on? So I've noticed, I've seen it. I've seen it from the very top. I had a fabulous, fabulous agent in New York that was willing to do whatever he could for me. And he could not open any big door because of who my dad was. Father, bless his heart. My father was a brave man. He was a courageous man. He was a brilliant man, intelligent man. He fought for this country. He put his name, his reputation out there, not only for the country, but also for Christ, for both of those things. He was brave and he got totally lambasted and totally disregarded and cut off.
Let's tell folks now who your famous dad is, please.
Oh, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. was my dad.
And for those who don't know, and there may be some that are on the younger side, tell us who Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. is.
Well, my brother's pop too, my brother Skip. Daddy was on, I think the 77 ran 8 years. And the FBI ran about 9, and he probably did about 40, at least 40 A pictures in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And the Academy would not announce him on the memorial packet when he died. They wouldn't even put him in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a shame. He was a very talented actor, always
very beloved,
enjoyed.
Very popular.
Absolutely. Yeah. Still is. And
handsome.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I recall it very much. And that FBI was incredible. Of course, today we're having our own problems with the real life FBI, aren't we now,
Lordy.
Stephanie? That's another.
Lordy.
We'll come back to that. That's another story for another day, but or maybe not. But it is interesting. I'll tell you what. Think about this. And we're going to go to break here and pause a moment here. But think about this. I wonder what your dad would say today, very seriously. And by the way, what year did he pass away? Remind me, please.
He passed away May 2nd, 2014.
Yeah, I know it wasn't all that long ago, but that's long enough, isn't it now?
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I'll tell you, I wonder what he would say today, looking at the level of scandals and the depth of how low we have sunk with the Federal Bureau of Investigations. I mean, the FBI, the tarnished reputation, all of the massive scandals, the deep state and establishment in play. You have to think about that, even as a politically astute guy and as a class A actor and a wonderful talent he was, what Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. would think of that. We'll find that out from Stephanie Zimbalist, who's joining me today here. And just a really uplifting cup. We got a lot more to talk about here, obviously, as we connect the dots here. But we'll continue on here, friends, on The Voice of a Nation with Stephanie Zimbalist. We'll be back just after this pause.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
So we are speaking to Stephanie Zimbalist, and Stephanie is, as we've just talked about, the fame of Remington Steele. You remember that with Pierce Brosnan, who went on to be 007, of course. You know, Pierce and you, in fact, I want to get into that a little bit later and tell you a couple of things I've seen. You had a pretty good friendship with him, in fact, Stephanie. So what at least that's what it says online, at least. Maybe it was different in the private halls, but it does say you got along very well with him. We'll get back.
It's gotten better over the years. Actually, our friendship really blossomed in the last, I'd say, oh gosh, maybe about 5 or 6, something like that. It's he's very dear, very sweet fellow, you know.
Yeah. And that's what we gather from him. And I do have some things I want to get back to on that a little bit later on. But so I ask you, I posed to listeners just a moment ago, Stephanie, about, and let's just stay on that track for a moment here. When you look around yourself, knowing who your dad portrayed, and he became famous, with one of his iconic roles with the FBI there, how do you think he would see today and say, if he could see, I mean, it's pretty disgraceful what's going on. And, you know, and the worst part about this is, Stephanie, we only know 2% of nothing. Can you imagine what we don't know?
Yeah. You know, all I can tell you is I had so many agents come to me and say, oh gosh, so many, even when he, of course, when he was alive, but they said, your father was the face of the FBI. Your father. Yeah. Is the reason that I became an agent. And there were so many agents that said that. And he said he just had, it wasn't only that he dressed well, that he drove a nifty car, but he had class and he had integrity. And we all admired him, and that's what we wanted to be. And they all signed up for him. And when Hoover died, Daddy gave one statement to the press, only one. And he said, when the lion dies, the rats come out. That's all that he said. Regarding what he'd feel now, I think my pop is concerned right now about the bigger picture. He's, of course, concerned about the FBI. But my daddy reminds me, he said, now, dear, I left on May 2nd. I told you I was going to go up to heaven and I was going to do some good stuff up there. I just want you to know, when did Donald Trump come down those stairs? We've been working hard upstairs for you guys. We've been doing our best. So it's not coincidental that Donald Trump came on the scene after my pop had left. I think I hold that very close in my heart. I've never met Donald Trump. I came close to meeting Donald Trump. That's a whole other story that maybe in 20 years I'll have the great honor of being able to tell him to his face. It's a funny, funny story. But at any rate,
it's a good story. Can you share it now or do you rather
it's
not?
It's too long.
Okay,
it's
gotcha.
Way too long. Okay. It's a funny, long story. But at any rate, I'm sort of like with most people, it's not that I hear he's fabulous. I hear he's delicious to be in the company of. The few people that I know who have had the pleasure of being in his company say, oh my gosh, he's just the best. And so it's all garbage about how terrible he is and awful and, you know, all this stuff. He's not. I mean, you just ask what kind of a man who is the richest man on earth would give up that platform to do what he's doing? Why? Because it's fun? I don't think so. He does seem to have a lot of fun, I have to say. He seems to have an awful lot of fun at these rallies. He really, really has a great time, and we have a great time watching him.
Well, isn't really life what you make it?
Yeah, but he could easily say, I'm undone. I'm finished. I can't do this.
But I mean, he's making it fun because he wants it to be fun. That's his DNA. So it's all good, right?
Well, because the fun means that it's good for the people of America.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what he's after.
Well, I have to share with you now, dear Stephanie, this, and I tell listeners this. I've told this a couple of times briefly, but I want to share it to you personally as well, because it will fit the narrative of what you're talking about. You and I had not talked about any of this prior to the mic going hot today. Right. So I had no idea what we'd be saying, but it's all good. And here's what I want to say to you. So people ask me, well, or they try to point out that Donald Trump isn't worthy of the office. Donald Trump isn't worthy of the presidency. Donald Trump isn't worthy of this or that. He's a this, he's a that. We'll leave all the adjectives away from the program here so we can stay ladies and gentlemen, okay? All right? But they have plenty of adjectives they lace him with and so on and so forth. So here's the thing. So here's what I picture, Stephanie. See if you can visualize this in your mind, please, okay? So Donald Trump meets God. God has a conversation with Donald Trump and they're talking. And God says to Donald Trump, you know, well, listen, Donald, I need you to run for president of the United States. And Donald looks back with an aghast look and says, but God, I said, I can't do that. I've only talked about that over the years. And when I was on with Oprah Winfrey, was it when I was on with Rona Barrett or any of these talk shows, I always said that I would never run for president, but I talked about the problems. Mm-hmm. And then God said, yes, but we need your leadership at this moment in time in America. Well, Donald then says to God, but God, I mean, wow, you know, I mean, they're not going to like it. I mean, they're going to pull up everything. You know that I made a lot of money, God. God says, yes. He said, well, do you know I had a lot of sex? And God said, yes. And he said, Donald says, yeah, but they're going to, and what about the fact I paid less taxes because, you know, I wanted to keep it in my way and not give it to, God said, yes. And he said, well, God then says, well, that's why you're the perfect one to run for president, Donald. They'll never think you're with me.
Yeah.
Let the first man who has not sinned, what did they say? Right. We've all sinned. I mean, who's got an empty closet that they can just say, I'm the perfect human being and I've done nothing wrong in my life?
Speaking of closets, and you said, you know, yeah, Donald Trump wouldn't be presidential. We don't. And Joe Biden is. Lordy, lordy, lordy. Oh my goodness. It's you can't even read this on a bubblegum wrapper. I mean, it wouldn't even get submitted as a fourth grade soap opera 40 years ago. People wouldn't buy what's going on. They'd say, you've got to be kidding. Every day. I mean, it's what Tucker says. He says, every day there's something new. It's right. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
And Stephanie, it's more than just Joe Biden. And I would challenge you back and say it's every one of those personalities in Washington, D.C. Stephanie, if you opened up the background of the closet of any of those people in Congress, or you looked at any, look at how wealthy they all are off of their salaries, do you know what we find?
Yeah, I know. I
yeah.
know.
I mean, Joe Biden's the tip of that iceberg. He just represents the club.
I know a friend of mine that we've already mentioned on this show already. I wrote and said, look, the first question you have to ask yourself is why all of these people that have been in government for decades, how is it that they're millions or billions wealthier when they leave office than when they started? How did that happen? You have to ask yourself that question. Just start with that question and then know that something is very wrong. But that's what the swamp is that just that alone. Who are you going to see? Like, what was it, Harry Truman that got in his car with his wife and drove back home after his presidential service was done? Those days are done.
Yeah. So let me ask you now, before we move on with the rest of the conversation. So we are, as people are listening to this on talk radio today, if you are, and we'll go to podcast as well, by the way, but if you are, we are one day away, hours ticking before the presidential election, a historical election in our nation's history. And we've just come through a most, it's been a really interesting 4 years, but it's been a very historical 4 years as well. I mean, we'll look back 50 years from now, people will, 100 years from now, and they'll know this moment in time, Stephanie. There's no doubt in my mind. So as we see it right now, Stephanie, if you would be honest with us and listeners. Tell me what you feel, your senses. What's your feelings about this election right now and what the outcome might be? How nervous are you or not? Or confident are you? Tell us.
Well, first of all, we have to look, you know, when you said, Malcolm, as we look back on it, you have to look at all the accomplishments of the Trump administration. You have to start with that. I mean, you know, with all of the shooting across the bow and the screaming and this and that and oh my gosh and all this stuff, you have to just basically pay attention to the layout on what the Trump administration has managed to achieve, even in the face of such partisanship. It's astonishing. It's completely astonishing.
Which, by the way, Stephanie, would only go to the point we were talking about 10 minutes ago and the fact that Donald Trump is God delivered, because there's no way a man would be able to accomplish anywhere near that if under the duress that he's been under and the level of scandals that they have tried to tackle him with, if he wasn't of the good. You agree with that?
Yeah, I unfortunately, I didn't realize that my printer also has a ringer on it. I'm so sorry. It'll stop. It's not going to answer anything, but there you go. Sorry about that.
So do you agree with that as well?
And I, of course, I missed that one because I was throwing the phone out the window. Sorry.
I love it. You know, I've got to have to keep this into the program because it just shows your levity and your how comfortable you are with it all. And you know, so I said with Donald, Trump is president now, and we say with all of it plays to the bigger point that we were just talking about, the fact that Trump is here because he's supposed to be here. He is God delivered for this nation. And I say, no man, I don't know anybody, and I don't know if you know anybody who could stand the attacks that a human being could possibly stand and still stand and come back, as you said moments ago, laughing at the rallies and having a great time with the American people. Stephanie, that says plenty.
It does. It really does. It's phenomenal. It just gives us all, I mean, he's our leader. He gives us such heart. He really, really does. He's got a great sense of humor because he's so bright. You see, you can't have a sense of humor as he does unless you're extremely intelligent. And he is, Yes. Has he made mistakes? Yes. We've all made mistakes. Mm-hmm. Has he made mistakes in business? Yes. You know, you hire, now forgive me, a president is not a plumber, but you hire your plumber because of all the mistakes he's made, so that when he comes and works on your plumbing, he doesn't screw up because he's already made that mistake.
Oh, you mean we don't hire the perfect man?
There is no perfect man. But you hire somebody who's had experience and they've made the mistakes in the past.
What you should have said back to me then is, no, Malcolm, you hire the perfect woman.
Oh, I don't, you know, that's not, I'm not, you know.
Well, because you're a conservative patriot. That's why you say that. I get it.
Yeah.
But that's important to a lot of the country. Well, let me ask you that. Will we have a woman president in our lifetime?
I'm really not sure. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. For whatever anybody thinks on either side, the energy, the focus, the effort, the tenacity, the strength that it takes to be able to do this job. I mean, just that, if you just simply compare Trump and Biden, there's no comparison. I mean, if somehow Biden should get rolled across the finish line here, that's about all the distance that he's got, because he can't do anything else. There's nothing else that he can do. So it's going to be very interesting. Very interesting.
How do you think Nikki Haley would make it as a president?
I think she'd be awfully good, actually. Mm-hmm. I do. I think she'd be very good.
Well, then I would suggest to you and our listeners that we watch her rising star very carefully.
And her and Kristi Noem is another one that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
There's several of them that are really, really something.
That's correct. And they are really up and coming and rising stars. You know, it would be very appropriate to me, Stephanie, that the first woman president would be a conservative and not a liberal. What do you say to that?
I tend to think I really I don't even I haven't a clue. I just put one foot in front of the other. You know, I did go and watch that clip, however, from 2016 when Ann Coulter's around a table of she might have even been on The View. She might have even been on The View, and they say, well, who do you think is going to be? This is like in 2015, just when they're just lining up their own, you know, running the people that are running. And out of the blue, Ann Coulter says Donald Trump, and they howl and they laugh and they say, you're kidding. No. And she doesn't say a word. She just doesn't say a word. That's all she said was Donald Trump. And she was right.
Yeah, you look back at the tapes and the recordings, it's truly amazing. The people who swore that he would never win the presidency, you know what I would say back to you, Stephanie, on that measure? Obviously, those people weren't talking to God at the time.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's one nation under God. And I cannot begin to tell you how many people are praying for Donald Trump. Well, we know at least, 70 million are. Every day, mm-hmm. every day, you know, we have to feel that whatever happens, he's, you know, we're under the grace of the good Lord Jesus Christ. We have to feel that. Otherwise, what are we doing? What are we doing here at all? It's going to be a very interesting day and a very interesting turnout tomorrow. I am praying, of course, all of my friends are praying, that it is a complete landslide victory, that there's no way that anybody is going to be rolling up 30,000 more votes for Biden to the back of some post box somewhere after the fact, because it won't make any difference at all.
That is perfectly said, actually, the way you say that there, because that has been part and parcel of the problem with all of this disqualifying about mail-in voting and universal voting and all of the ballot harvesting and all these other things.
That's right.
And as you're saying, if it is a concise victory, then they don't have enough card trunks and they can't do enough to try to cheat, steal, and change that objective. And but the other thing you said a moment ago that got my attention, Stephanie, is the power of prayer. When you said, I can't tell you how many people are praying for this president, and you reference God and Jesus Christ. And I would say back to you, well, listen, then the power of prayer always works, and the power of, and I'll go one step further with you, Stephanie, the point and, you know, the mission of this show you're on right now, The Voice of a Nation, and what I do every day is, which I think will speak to you as well. It's the fight of good versus evil. That's the whole point of my whole existence, is the fight of good and evil.
No, you're right, Malcolm. You're absolutely right there. You know, and let's make no mistake that the left, they don't believe in Jesus Christ, because if they did, they would let us be in our churches. You know, there was nothing brighter that Jane Fonda has ever said in her entire life than she said recently, COVID is God's gift to the left. And in God's gift to the left, the one concession is that they were able to close down our ability to go and worship together. And so we all do it on Zoom. We're all good at that now, but it's not the same. It's not the same as going to church. It isn't the same, you know, but they don't believe in that. So how are they going to do? How are they going to do their thing without the Lord?
Well,
or God? How are they going to do all their stuff?
When they reference God, and we know when they say that, and we can always feel the tremor in their voice when they speak that way. I would suggest back to you, Stephanie, that they're referencing their God is the God of Satan, you understand, and there's the evil force that I'm speaking about. So I'm just going to put that out with you right now. When I talk about good and evil, there's not two gods up there, love. There's not two gods playing here. So their God is the God they're worshiping, which is the God of Satan. Pretty strong language, isn't it?
Yeah. But I'm not sure that I disagree with you, Malcolm. I'm not. You know, it's now or nothing. It's the Rubicon. It's the great divide. It's get on board or get off. You got to make your decision now. You just have to decide which side you're on and go on board.
That's it. And that's tends to be where we're at right now as a nation here.
Yeah.
Well, we are speaking with Stephanie Zimbalist here and having a great time. Now, we're going to pause a moment here. Now, what I want to do now is come back and really talk about, well, Stephanie Zimbalist and talk about her life and what she's doing and a little bit of her background. Fascinating stuff, actually, here. I always loved watching you in your film, your show there, Remington Steele. You were such a classic in that show. You were terrific, just terrific, talented, beyond talent, and here you are today. So we'll pause a moment. We'll be back just after this quick pause. Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. But we are the vision of the voices. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
So I wanted to tell you one thing that we had hearkened on in a little while ago, and that is a little bit about me. For some reason, when Facebook came on the scene and Twitter, there was from me an immediate pushback. I said, I'm not going to do this. I am not going to do this. First of all, my sister jumped in to Facebook. My lovely sister who's passed now, she was on it all day long. From the moment that she woke up to the moment she went to sleep. In fact, one of our nieces said, oh my God, like she's on it, like all it, she's on it like more than me. And the thing is that it took over my sister's life. I have enough people that I am in communication with in my life. I have an enormous circle of friends. I do, especially now, it's patriots.
So have you ever done Facebook or no?
No, okay, I have my wonderful group, my fan base has a page. So if I want to let them know I'm doing something, there's a couple of people that I contact.
And I see. Do they have a page on Twitter as well, or do you know that?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, you got to remember, that's where President Trump is, on Twitter. You got to make sure they get over there.
I just didn't want to get pounded. The only reason I ever wanted to go on Twitter was only because so many of my friends in the business have died. And I often had a nice word to say about them or a little story, and I had no way of reaching the world because I wasn't on Twitter.
Well, let me tell folks, we're speaking with Stephanie Zimbalist here. You hear her talk about the Facebook and all of that, and I got to confess with you, Stephanie, I also am not on Facebook today anymore. I'm not, and they put me off, they threw me off of there as a conservative about I think about 3 years ago or so, something like that. Stephanie, you know, they threw me off, and so I'm not on there at all. We are on Twitter, but also Gab, Parler, LinkedIn, Pinterest. Now, Gab and Parler are more, how do you say, patriot-based, I guess, is the way I'd say it to you. You know, I want to suggest you might want to consider after our talk today with the election, maybe, you know, I love what you said a moment ago, and that's kind of what President Trump uses it to put his big toe in the water. He uses Twitter. Now, he's got a lot of water there because he's got one of the biggest accounts on Twitter and one of the most active, clearly. But it might be a place for you to chime in now and then. You don't have to get into the weeds there, but you could put out your messages. And that might be something to think about at the moment of the election. Maybe you express your thought, you open up your account, and you put your first thought out there in a very positive way. Keep it real.
Well, thank you. It's been advised to me not to do it because I would get a lot of pushback. And I don't want to spend my life
There you go.
Arguing with people that are pushing back.
That's a great point. And no, I will say to this to you, what you know how you get around that and is you don't push back. The point is that, listen, people call me all kinds of names and negative comments everywhere. And you know, the thing about it is, Stephanie, I don't reply to any of them. And I'm okay if they do that. I really don't have a problem with people's opinions, and the diversity of opinion is a beautiful thing. And I always chuckle and move on. And it doesn't ever bother me. It doesn't stick to me, so it's okay. I look at that as a beautiful thing about our nation. So if you don't engage, they can't ever get to you, is my point.
That's true.
Anyways, yeah, it's the truth. Because I do it right now. We get followers every day, and I don't follow a lot of people back. I don't have the time. I don't get into the micro of it all. You know what I mean? Like all of
That's
this
right.
and what did they say and what did that? I got to follow this one and that one. I'm way too busy. I can't. I'm doing too much a day, you know? So
I get you.
There are those of us who are trying to change the world, right? You know,
yeah,
for the best. And
there are those that make things happen. There are those that watch things happen, and there are those that have no idea that anything happened.
That's anything is happening, and there. That's exactly it. It's a great saying. And there are those that get sideswiped by a fast moving car as well. If you don't watch it and get the hell out of the road, right? Anyways, let's move it along here, Stephanie. Simple as here. And, all right. So I got to tell you now. Let me go here. I got to tell you this here now. So all right. So I went ahead and just a bit ago here today, I typed in your name into the search and I said, Stephanie Zimbalist. And then, you know how when you do like I hate to say Google search because I can't stand Google, but I did use Google. I could use Bing as well. And then you know how it gives you certain questions that are mostly asked out there, the quandary of questions that are asked, you know? You know how it does that? Yeah. So it gives you like 6-8 questions, and then you click on the little arrow and it tells you what the answers are. And the first one is Stephanie Zimbalist still acting? Was the first one that Google provided. And here was the answer. I thought you would chuckle, Stephanie. It says this. By the 90s, Stephanie had taken to acting mostly in TV films, but the fact remains that she was still around, and she's still around today. Now, what the hell kind of a comment is that? Now, I mean,
I've been doing theater for 30 years. So I did a lot of television movies after Remington, lots of them. And then I did a lot of theater because the only thing that ever mattered to me was being really good at what I do. I didn't care about fame and fortune. It was not what I was after. It was never a goal. But to be the very, very best that I could be was the most important. So the best teacher that we actors have is the stage. That's the very best. So I did theater for 30 years and loved it and still love it. But, you know, it's also, again, a very leftist group, theater world. And so I did a play a couple of years ago in upstate New York. And then I just finished a little film for Dan Roebuck called Lucky Louie that'll get some kind of release.
When will that come out? Do you know?
I don't know. Okay. It's for his Channel of Peace.
Okay.
Dan Roebuck's Channel of Peace. He's trying to raise money for this wonderful group that he's built, which does.
Well, when it does come out, let me know and we'll see if we can't connect and put some publicity with it, you know?
All righty. Okay.
Yeah, that would be a way to do it. Yeah. Let me ask you, will you be doing right now the theater is closed completely down. Will you be doing theater in the future?
Not that I know of. As I say, I'm on the wrong side of the fence for them.
Okay.
Even though it's never talked about when we do theater, you don't speak about your political affiliations when you're rehearsing or in the run of a play, but somehow these pants on fire people get it in their heads and they get hysterical. They just get absolutely hysterical, hair on fire about it, you know.
So what I'm gathering, or the thought that comes to my mind, Stephanie, then it's really not about the talent. It's about the fact of what your beliefs are then.
Well, the entire business has just been destroyed. I don't know if you heard, but recently the Academy came out with their rules, and you have to hire people based on either what sex they are, what sexual preference they have, what their gender affiliation, their transgender affiliation. You're hiring people on all that stuff rather than, oh, they're the best one for the job.
But doesn't that just tell you how shallow Hollywood is?
Well, the problem is that the audience doesn't care about any of that. And if you're trying to meet quotas in whom you hire in your actors and your crew, they don't care about that. It's the same with, you know, people want to see a good football game or a good basketball game. They don't care on what's on the back of their jersey.
They've destroyed all that as well, Stephanie.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, all sports now is destroyed across the board. It was just football, but now it's everything. Now even our beloved pastime, Major League Baseball, apple pie, baseball, Chevrolet, all that's destroyed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, they know how to get it back. The question is, are they going to?
That's a good question. You know, and I know a lot of conservatives struggle, a lot of patriots, let me use the word patriots, struggle because they love sports or they love entertainment. They want to go see a good movie. They want to see a good football game, baseball game, and they really don't know what to do. Because again, as I started this program today, Stephanie, the left, the socialist left, they have the megaphone to our entire society. How crazy is that?
Right, right.
Why do they have that? I keep questioning, why is that? Why do they own the entire, why is that? Do you have any idea? You got a clue?
It's just a kind of a laziness of the American public. I mean, if you're awakened, I always thought awoke meant that you were finally a patriot, but now they've absconded with that. So, if you've taken your head out of the sand, you're not going to spend a lot of time watching MSNBC or CNN or ABC or NBC or reading the New York Times. You're not going to. You're not going. You know where to go, and you're going to go there. And so what I'm saying is that eventually those media avenues are going to dry up.
You know, always spoken like a true lady, getting your head out of your sand. When I use that expression, I say, get your head out of your, I don't want to say exactly what that is, but all right, let me ask you this now. So back to that Google search a moment here. Then the next big question people are asking, what happened on the last episode of Remington Steele? Mm-hmm. And then it puts the date there, April 17th, 1987. Now, when I seen the question, I thought to myself, now, wait a minute, what did happen? Something happened. And I tried to rack my brain without clicking the down arrow. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. And I racked my brain, and I remember the relationship you on the on air relationship you had with Pierce Brosnan, and I thought something, but I couldn't remember what it was. And then I looked, and it was. And the next question was, do Remington Steele and Laura Holt get married? And yes, there it is at the end of the fourth season, and what was to be the final episode, Bonds of Steel, Laura and Remington finally get married and theoretically live happily ever after with actor Pierce Brosnan slated to be the next James Bond. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about Remington Steel. And was that your big role of your life? What is your best role of your life? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Well, first of all, Remington ended December 17th, 1986 in Ireland.
So they have the wrong date there, don't they?
Interesting.
See, now there's a great point there. That means when you're looking up Google, it's never right. It's wrong.
Yeah, that was the wrong date.
Go ahead.
I don't know if I remember that far back. I can remember general kind of, you know, feelings and goodwill. My fabulous hairdresser the whole time is about, 20 miles from me in an assisted living. And I am very proud to say I talked to her daughter last night and she voted. I'm so thrilled.
Who'd she vote for though?
She voted for Trump.
All right.
Thrilled to pieces, just thrilled. But it was a long time ago. It was a good show. It was well done. It was, you know, it's the most wonderful thing about Remington is that it's such a great picture of Los Angeles because we shot all over the city. We were on location constantly. So if you ever want to say, what did LA used to look like? And you click on Remington and you, wow, look at that. And it's all right there.
You mean that's before the homelessness, the drugs and all of that, huh?
And the ripping down of charming places and building mixed use houses and, you know, apartments along the street in the valley and all that stuff that's changed, you know?
Yeah. All right. So let's get now to the moment of truth. We're just got a couple of moments left, and this time has like flown by. I have so many other things. I had a whole nother direction I wanted to go with you on, but we don't have time. But let me ask you this. So we've got this, again, major election. Let's talk about that in our final thoughts here, because you certainly are so astute in following the political career, somebody who's not on social media, but very in tune to what's going on out there in the public. And how do you feel in your internal gut about the election and what will happen when we get to the fourth? What do you feel? Tell us.
I think it's going to be extraordinary. I think that the one thing that the media has missed is the little old email train in the Patriots. Let me just describe this. Let's say I have a circle of 150 people that I email. If those 150 people email it to their, let's say, 100 people, that's 15,000 people in one generation right there. Those 15,000 people email it to 100 people they know. That's 150 million people. Now, the bottom line is it's 150 million people in three generations from my own laptop. And what you're getting is you're getting an email from somebody you know to somebody you know. And the media has totally lost that we have this underground train. And it's been going on for years and years, and they've missed it. They've just missed it. So they try to squash it. They try to stamp down all possible communication, but they just missed that one. They just, missed that
one. Now, is that why the pollsters have gotten it so wrong?
I think it's going to be a play. I think it's going to be a play. I just think, you know, when you go see a Biden rally recently and it's surrounded by Trump voters, his little car rally in Pennsylvania is lined for miles and miles with waving flags of Trump supporters. There's something going on here, yeah. You know.
Yeah, it sounds like something is going on, and it looks like America is going to speak. And again, the proverbial fight of good versus evil will be front and center in the next many days, Stephanie Zimbalist. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. May we all, you know, we will have elected again a bull in a china shop, because that's what we wanted. We wanted a bull in a china shop to break it up.
Yeah.
We wanted him to break it all up. He had to break it up. He had to blow the whistle and do his thing. And it's not about being kind. Thank you, Mr. Romney. It's not about being nice. It's about getting the job done.
Mm-mm-mm. Wow. And that is so well said, Stephanie. I mean, yep. Wow. And so now it comes down to the American electorate. I'll tell you what. How about you and I reconnect and do a rendezvous in a couple of weeks after the election? Let's see what happens. Now, I predicted when we started, we'll know in a couple of weeks. And you chuckled off mic and said, well, do you think we'll know in a couple of weeks or a couple of days, Malcolm? Right. So you're suspecting there will be a fight, obviously, huh?
I think so. They've got to have their fight. This, you know, the when we talked about religion, Malcolm, I forgot to say, of course, that the left, their religion is the Democratic Party. They don't have any religion if the Democrats don't win. That's why they go so bananas, is because we at least have a religion. If we should lose, we still have our religion.
We have our belief system. You bet.
And we have
you
our belief bet. System.
Absolutely. We're there. So you're listening there to the voice of Stephanie Zimbalist. What an amazing hour. So enjoyed talking with her. I hope you enjoyed out there listening. It's the first time I connected with her, and a beautiful, beautiful message. What a terrific human being and a great patriot, and just an absolute pleasure. And you get a perspective today and listen to someone like Stephanie of what she's her sense is and living in Los Angeles and how she sees the world. And that should give a glimmer of hope to everybody to know that there is hope out there, and there are a lot of people pushing in those emails that Stephanie just talked about right there. Yes. So, my fellow Americans, thank you for being with me on the mission. It's time to get involved and get loud.